Okay, where we are today is my favorite chapter in all the Bible. And that is Revelation chapter 5. When you think about the book, very simply, the grid through which to read the book is to understand that John is addressing several churches that he knows, and these churches are some of them are waffling, some of them are conceding to the pressures of the culture of their day. And John's point is to encourage them for all of us to hang in there, to persevere, because you and I have a great future. And that great future is that for reasons only known to God, he has made us joint heirs with him through Christ, and someday we will rule and we will reign in heaven with him. And the point is that evil will not always be here. God is going to crush it. He's going to judge this world in two ways. He's going to judge his enemies, and he's going to uplift and redeem his friends. So what we have in this book is a vision or visions of John in which he is trying to encourage these first century churches and now 21st century churches to simply hang in there. We in Christ are going to win. We will not have a sad last chapter. We will have a brilliant chapter in our lives, all because God is going to judge his enemies and elevate his friends. And that's what this book is really about. It's a book of encouragement. Evil will not always win. In fact, it's going to be defeated. It has been defeated, but the anvil hasn't fallen on it yet, but it will. And we will end as the book of the Revelation ends, in the presence of God, in the city that comes down out of heaven, with thick walls for our security forever and ever and ever. Now, when you look at the book, it begins with a salutation. It's also a letter. But then at the end of chapter 1, you have a vision of God the judge. And after that vision, so a vision is a preamble to what follows. You have chapters 2 and 3. So it's the vision of the judge speaking to the seven churches. Then in chapter 4 and 5, you have another vision. But this vision is of John looking into heaven. And in that vision, chapter 4, he sees a throne. He sees God upon that throne. He sees worshipers around the throne, 24 elders, the four living creatures that we talked about last Sunday. And when you come to this, And he is holding something in his hand. It's a book. God is holding a book. The question is, in our chapter, who is worthy to open this book? What is this book? So when you look at chapter 5, what you find are three things. You find a book. That's in verses 1 to 4. You find a lamb, which is in 5, 6, and 7. It's a unique lamb. It's a slain lamb. So what he's saying subtly is the one who has the authority to open the divine book that will end human history and transport his children into heaven is one who has obtained that right because he is the one who conquered death. It's a lamb. It's so pretty. I just love it. And then, so verse 1 to 4 is the book. It's sealed. out of the book will come the judgments that take us from chapter 6 through chapter 19. Verses 5 to 7 is this lamb, this one who is going to open this book. And then there's worship of this lamb in 8 to 14 in three cycles. So here's how it begins. This is so pretty. John saw it, says, I saw in the right hand is a symbol of strength. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So chapter 4 is connected to chapter 5. So it gives us more information about this vision. A book. Well, the word book there is actually scroll. But our translators have given us the word book because it translates into our code, our language code better. It's a scroll. Rolled up. Who's able to open this scroll, they'll say. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book. Now, it's an interesting book. It is written on the inside and on the back. What is this book? And it's sealed with seven seals. Well, it seems to me that what the book is, without getting into it, we'll get into it in 6 through 19, is that it's the book of the evidence of the rightfulness of God to judge this world. It's a book of how he will do that. It's written on both sides. When I think about this, what it is, this book is God's plan whereby he will judge the world and gather his people to himself to praise him forever. So it's a book of judgment. It's a book of redemption. It contains both as we go through it. It's a great encouraging book. It's written on the front and on the back. It means it's complete, it's full. Some would argue that this book is found in Daniel chapter 12. Remember at the end of Daniel's book, God tells him to seal the book and to wait for a later time for its fulfillment. So maybe John has in mind, as he often does, an Old Testament passage, Daniel 12. It could be that he's also thinking of a Roman will. A Roman will is a sealed, signed document that is not to be opened until the person deceases, he dies. And then it is opened and the instruction in it are to be followed to the detail. Completely. In this case, the one who died, this is what's so pretty. The one who died is the one who opens the book. Nobody dies and opens his will because they're dead. But this one that's going to come not only died, but he lives. And because he lives. He's conquered death. He's conquered evil. He lives today. Only he and no one else. No one else died and lives. He died and rose, and we will follow him. And it's sealed with seven seals. The seven seals are wax that's dropped on a document. Usually with an impression made upon it so that it cannot be opened without recognizing it. So this is the great book. It's the great scroll. I saw, so I'm looking into heaven and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book, and it's sealed tight. No one can open it. That's the vision. Verse 2 is the question. this is really pretty. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, so authority, rumbling through heaven. Why? Because John is drawing attention to the one who can open this book and bring history to a successful, triumphant conclusion. I saw the strong angel with a loud voice saying, who is worthy? The word worthy occurs three times in this book, in this chapter. Who is worthy? He doesn't tell us because he's building excitement. Who is worthy to open the book, the scroll, and break its seals? Obviously, you and I know that when the seal, when the seventh seal is opened, it leads to seven more judgments, trumpets. And when the seventh trumpet is opened, it leads to the final seven, the bowls. So it's a book, three cycles, that goes through how God is going to judge his enemies. They well, not how, but that he surely will. Verse 3. And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth. So the emphasis is upon no one was able to open the book and look into it. No one is worthy. So it's a great scene of heaven. It's really beautiful. And John's reaction was, then I began to weep greatly. Who is worthy to put an end to evil, put an end to sorrow and death? Who is worthy to gather God's people to be with him forever and ever? So victory comes through judgment, just as it came through our Lord. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy. Second time, the word worthy. So the emphasis is going to be in the chapter, the one who is worthy to open the book and to look into it. Now the Lamb. This is where our passage becomes just utterly stunning. Remember the point. The point is that you and I should be encouraged in spite of the vicissitudes and traumas and tragedies and disappointments of life, that life is not going to end in disappointment. Evil is not going to triumph, though it seems wildly popular. It's going to end in judgment. And after the judgment of evil, you and I will be vindicated. Take courage. Evil is not going to prevail. Now, here, this is, so it's so simple, but it's so pretty. There's a book. Verses 1 to 4, but no one seems qualified at all to open this great book. Now the one who can, the one who will. And one of the elders said to me, remember, around the throne are 24 elders, myriads of angels, a placid listening sea, and the four living creatures. We think the 24 elders are represented by the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes, but we're not sure. We're not sure. And one of the elders, so someone around the throne, said to me, isn't this pretty? Just think about this. Stop weeping. Stop weeping. Why? Behold. So it's all building to this massive crescendo. Behold, the lion that is of the tribe of Judah, at the root of David. The lion of the tribe, lion means strength, prowess. He's going, someone is rising from the tribe of Judah. Where does that carry us in the Holy Scriptures? It carries us to Jacob, blessing his fourth son, and in which he says that the scepter will remain with him. This is Genesis chapter 49. He is a lion, the king of the beasts. He is the root of David. So his capacity will be that of a lion in strength. But he is the root of David. What's the root of David? Where does that come from in the Bible? 2 Samuel chapter 7, that David the king is promised a successor upon his throne forever. It's found in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Who is worthy to open the book? A son of David, the greater king, is worthy to open the book. The lion, he has overcome. It's a done deal. What does it mean, he has overcome? He has overcome evil. He has judged evil. When did the lion do that? Upon Calvary's tree. Remember Matthew 27, 57, the charge over the cross that Pilate put of Jesus was, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. He's the king. He has overcome. How did he do it? By his dying, but by his resurrection. This, whoever he is, we've not been told who he is yet. So I'll read it. Stop weeping. You and I don't need to weep. Why? The lion has come. The son of David has come. He has overcome. The triumph of the cross. In other words, through our Lord's acceptance of weakness, he became qualified. He conquered death. So as, the key words in this little verse 5 is so as, to open the book. What book? The book that of judgment of this world that is in the hand of God who is sitting on the throne. And he's worthy to open this seven sealed book with the seven seals that will become the seven trumpets, the seven vials. Judge this world. He will do that for us. And now this really gets exciting. And I saw between the throne and the four living creatures, remember them, four faces, all of creation, I think is what he means by four living creatures, and the elders, a lamb. Just meditate on that. A lamb. You would think if I saw something, it's confusion. He's a lion, but he's a lamb as if slain. In other words, evil is going to be crushed someday when God has gathered all his people. Evil will be judged. And the redeemed will reign with him. He is alone worthy to conquer evil. But this lion is a lamb. What's it mean to us? It's lamb suggests the Passover. He is the great Passover lamb. So he's a lion, strength, king. But he became a lion in a way that the world could never have imagined, nor could we, by becoming a lamb. But he's standing. He was dead, but now he stands. This is beyond compare. I put in the notes a comment by John Stott, and he says this. When earthbound men want symbols of power, they conjure up mighty beasts and birds of prey. Russia elevates the bear. Britain, the lion. France, the tiger. The United States, the spread eagle. All of the ravenous. It is only the kingdom of heaven that would dare to use as its symbol of might, not the lion for which John was looking, but the helpless lamb. And at that, a slain lamb. Isn't that pretty? Men think the way to succeed is by force and strength. God succeeded to obtain the ultimate end for us by the weakness of a lamb. He's standing. He's alive, as if slain. He's the guy. So, as if slain tells me that he was once dead, but now alive. His death triumphed over death for us. And he is alive. And this guy, this man, this one we love, someday will open the seals. He's opening them now. He's opening them partially. You see God's judgment periodically. And they are only pictures of the great flood and all that. They're just pictures of a final judgment. Second Peter tells us this, of the great judgment to come. I saw between the throne and the four living creatures, the elders, a lamb. Who would have thought that a lamb would become a lion? Well, a lion became a lamb and is now a lion. He has the right to open the seals. Having seven horns. What's horns? What's the image of horns? It means strength. Eyes. What's eyes? All-knowing, omniscient, which are the seven spirits of God. In other words, what surrounds this lamb is the Holy Spirit. It's been sent out into all the earth. In other words, God, Jesus will judge this world, and he'll do it through the power of the triune God, the Father sitting, the Son standing, the Lamb being, or the Spirit being sent. And we'll come back to the Spirit. And notice what he did. I just think when I think of the great throne of God, who is worthy to bring justice to this crazy world? And a lion appears, but he's a lamb. Strength and sacrifice death, and life all bound together in the Lord Jesus. And he came, verse 7, this is so great. All that we're going to have through the end of the book is an explanation of how he's going to do what he is said to do in verse 7. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. What's amazing to me is all those around the throne fall down in worship, but the Lamb does not. And neither does God the Father or the Holy Spirit. It's a vast statement of the absolute equality of God, the triune God. He came, he took the book. So if you and I are saying, when is righteousness really, are we living in a dream world? When is right, when is wrong going to be made right? God's doing it now, but he will do it finally. He came, I just love the verse. He took the book, he took our pain out of the right hand of him who sat, verse 1, on the throne. So we have a majestic vision. We have a book that no one can open. We have a lamb slain, lion-like, who can take the book and open the book. This is it. And then you have worship. In verses 8 to 14, when you look at 8 to 14, remember, John likes threes. Threes are going to run all through this book. Three judgments, for instance. You have three acts of praise. You have 8 to 10, 11 and 12, 13 and 14. You have a statement of worthiness. Who is worthy? Three times it's going to be said, he's worthy. This lamb is worthy. But when you look at the three acts of praise, there's increased audience each time. This is what's so pretty. In verses 8 to 10, it is the 24 elders and the four living creatures. But in verses 11 and 12, it's the 24 elders and the four living creatures, and they are joined by myriads and myriads of angels. So he's building a great climax. And in verses 13 and 14, it's all living. It's universal of God's people to worship him. So we have a book that's sealed, but no one is able to open that seal because no one has conquered death and evil. But Jesus' resurrection is proof that he did both. You have the Lamb. So I think if you ever get discouraged, and we all do, open to chapter 5. There it is. There's the victory. It tells the whole story of the gospel. And here's the praise. First by 24 elders. Verse 8, and the four living creatures. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures, which I take to be all of humanity, all of creation, man, beasts, creation itself. Remember, Romans 8 says that the creation groans, awaiting its redemption. Creation has just learned that redemption is coming. Heaven's a beautiful place, the New Jerusalem. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, maybe the apostles and the tribes, fell down before the Lamb. It's worship. Each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now that's interesting. The saints in the book of Revelation are praying to God and saying, oft time, we'll come to it, when are you going to make things right? So the saints in heaven are praying for God to bring down evil and establish his perfect reign with us forever. That's the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Now, verse 9, did they compose a new song? No, the word new means inspiring. It's exactly what the word means. It means immediately inspiring. They sang a new song saying, worthy. They're worshiping the Lamb, the Lion. You, worthy are you to take the book, to end this evil world, to break its seals. Now the key word is the word for. You can do this. You have a right to do this. Why? Because only Jesus conquered death by dying. No one could do that. He did it, and he lives. Notice what it says. For you were slain. You died and purchased for God with your own blood. There's substitution. He paid our penalty. He died for us from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Why is he qualified to be the great, to open the great book of judgment and end this cruel world? Because he was judged, and the judged one has the right to judge. You were slain, you purchased, you bought. The word purchased means it's a word out of the marketplace for buying, agorazo, to buy. And the purchase price was his life. They're worshiping him. And here's the content. You have made them, the ones you have purchased with your blood, to be a kingdom. What's a kingdom? It's a realm over which one rules. He is the Lion. He is the King. He's made a kingdom. You have made them to be a kingdom. And priests is our duty. We are servants. We represent God. And they will reign upon the earth. The new earth, the one at the end of Revelation that comes down from heaven with 12 gates and thick walls, and in the middle is the Lamb. They're praising him. Now, here's another group. So there are three of these. John's just making a point. This is great. So in verses 8 to 10, we have an ascription of worthiness. Why are you worthy? In verses 11 and 12, we have an ascription of authority. Now angels join. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne with the living creatures and the elders. So the number is getting bigger. Everybody's getting involved. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. remind you what Jesus said on the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him. All these angels, created beings, are saying with a loud voice, what are they saying? They're saying the same thing. Worthy is the Lamb. The weak Lamb is now the conquering King. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now he lives to receive power. Seven things are said of him. What's that mean? Completion, total, everything. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Power to what? To open the book that's sealed. And riches and wisdom. He's going to do it right. And might and honor and glory and blessing. It's just a cacophony of praise. So there's an ascription of worthiness, 8 to 10, by 24 elders and four living creatures. Now the angels are added to ascribe to him authority to do so. He's worthy. And then in verses 13 and 14, you have an ascription of praise for triumph. And everybody gets into this thing. And every created thing, I take it quite literally. I think the trees are going to wave praises to God. I think the animals are going to sing praises to God. Everything. And every created thing which is in heaven, the saints of old, that have gathered before us, and on earth, and under the earth, and on the sea. I think all he's saying is everywhere. And all things in them. So it's a final cacophony of praise to God. To him who said, they say, to him who sits on the throne, that's God the Father, and to the Lamb, the one who has the scroll and the one who will get to open the scroll. To him who sits on the throne, what's that mean? It means unhasty, unhurried, all-powerful. And to the Lamb. Lamb, it keeps reoccurring. I think seven times in this chapter. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion. In other words, evil is not going to win out. It might in my lifetime. It might in yours. But it's not the end of the story. Four things. Blessing, honor, glory, dominion without end. That's how things are going to end. You and I should not be discouraged. There's reason for discouragement. Now we have this crazy pandemic. But that's not the end of the story. We're not going to. The final story is that we will win. Because Jesus already has won, and he has yet to apply both judgment and redemption. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. What they're agreeing, amen means I agree, Selah. And the elders fell down, and they worshiped. So I would say that's as pretty a chapter I have ever encountered in Holy Scripture. And Jesus now is the one recognized to take the book and now to open the book to show us that evil is not going to win, however powerful it was and is. Adolf Hitler is gone. Pol Pot is gone. The great Roman cruel empire, Rome, is gone. He is here. He will win. We will win because he's a lion with strength, but a lamb of sacrifice. And this lamb lives. So what's the application? Just simple things. What is most interesting to me is that what appears to be defeated from one perspective is triumph in another. Evil seems to be triumphing, but it will not win. Christ seems to have been defeated, but he is the Lamb at the throne who takes the book. Jesus has the right to judge our world righteously because he is righteous alone. In Christ alone, the meaning of the Old Testament is revealed because he is the subject of the volume in shadow form. And now we read this one. The book that only Christ can open and has opened through his death and resurrection triumph is a volume of two subjects. Redemption for us, judgment for this crazy world. Number six, the appearance of Jesus in the presence of God, the only one able to stand before God and take from him a sealed book and unfold its contents, is a lamb. John Stott's quote is really good. Russia, the bear. Britain, the lion. France, the tiger. But for you and I, it's the lamb. For our country, it's the eagle. And I muse when that was mentioned because Ben Franklin wanted our national bird to be the turkey. Can you imagine that? A turkey won't deliver us. A lamb can deliver us and has. So I end, if our passage tells us anything among the many things, it reveals the wonder that you and I are reigning with Christ now in a qualified sense because evil is present in God's kingdom. But someday, you and I will reign with Christ in a perfect place. Can you imagine being treating us as worthy to reign with his slain but alive son? Can you be pessimistic about life when a transformation has begun that someday will bring to you glory and honor wholly undeserved and unmerited? Do you live your life looking back or looking forward? It is just so pretty. So the first vision was given to the seven churches, saying to them, you need to hang in there. You need to persevere. There's a great day ahead. And what you have in chapter 4 through really 22 is what that great day will encompass. In 4 and 5, it prepares us for how God will crush evil. And in 21 and 22, our final home. The lamb that everyone despises for weakness will reign forever and ever. Just the image of a lamb standing in heaven slain is powerful. He will do it. It's just so beautiful. Now, how he'll do it, that's the rest of the book. And we will get to that. So, beautiful. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that a lion has become our lamb. Who would have thought that victory would come through death? And yet through the death of the lamb, the lion has sprung. And the point of all of this, our Father, is to encourage us today. Not pridefully, but humbly, that we are loved so much that the Lord Jesus would be given to us. And the method by which he would redeem us is through the purchase of blood in his own death. We look forward to the day, our Father, when evil will be no more, and we will reign in heaven before the throne of God forever and ever. For the Bible says in Revelation, there'll be no more crying and no more tears, for the former things will have been put away. And so the prayer this week, our Father, is that you would help us to live in light of our great future today, in confidence, in trust, in perseverance, in delight, that these shadows are but for a while, and then the sun will shine as it is shining above the clouds even today. Remove the clouds, we pray, from us, from each of us, and the things we face this week. Just guide us. We love you. We really do. We stand in awe of the Lamb that was slain. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.